Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In this video, I want to talk about the war that's going on right now that could have the biggest impact on everybody in the world. And I'm not talking about the war in Ukraine. What I'm talking about is the war that's currently going on between the USA and China, which is multifaceted. And in today's video, we'll talk about the latest incident, which is the shooting down of the surveillance balloon that China sent over US territory. So I'll go into the details on what's happened with regards to that. We'll talk about the trade war that was instigated by Donald Trump back in 2018 that is still going on right now. We'll talk about the technology war, which is focused around microchips and the development of advanced technology. We'll talk about the fishing war and the sanctions that are being applied against the USA for China's overfishing of global waters. We'll then have a look at the situation in Taiwan, which is the closest thing that we've got right now to an actual military conflict between these two superpowers. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is going to happen over the course of the next 3 to 6 months and what the likelihood is of a potential military conflict between the two biggest powers in the world right now. On Friday the 3rd of February, residents of Montana, USA, reported an unexpected UFO in the sky. This UFO was visible during daylight by the human eye and turned out to be a surveillance balloon that was recorded as being from China. The US authorities reportedly contacted China to ask what this balloon was doing in their airspace, and they were advised that it was a weather balloon that had blown off course. However, concerns were raised in the USA because this balloon was coincidentally flying over one of their nuclear weapon sites.
The balloon was first spotted publicly over Billings, Montana, where America's intercontinental ballistic missile silos are located. The helium-filled balloon was large, the latest report suggesting the payload alone measured 35 meters in length. It was all part of a sophisticated spy balloon, the Americans say.
So how likely is it that this surveillance balloon was really a weather balloon that was simply blown off course?
I think the best explanation is probably that they were trying to test the limits and provoke. The chances of a weather balloon are probably below 1%.
At 2:39 in the afternoon, a single air-to-air missile fired from one of two American F-22 fighter jets. A direct hit on the white dot, which has caused days of intrigue, amusement, but diplomatic drama too.
This is how it happened. The balloon was at 60, 65,000 feet. The F-22 lower than that when it fired the missile that brought this balloon down.
President Biden had authorized the hit on Wednesday, but the military waited until the balloon was above water.
They decided, without doing damage to anyone on the ground, they decided that the best time to do that was as it got over water outside within 12-mile limit. It successfully took it down, and I want to compliment our aviators who did it, and we'll have more to report on this a little later.
Where it landed is really, really key to this whole thing. They waited until it was over water, but within the 12 miles of United States territorial water, and also not too far from the coast, because that means it was only 47 feet down. This isn't to scale. So it is retrievable. What are they hoping to achieve, and why was it put here?
Important here because, Tom, this is shallow water. It's a very narrow window. This water, this shelf, drops off pretty quickly. And so they only had a certain amount of time to make sure it came down here. It looks as if they more or less hit the bullseye. And if it's only 50 feet down, they will recover it. They will get it back.
So is it feasible to believe that this weather balloon or surveillance balloon, whatever it might be, was simply caught up in the winds and accidentally blown over to the USA and then just coincidentally was flying over one of their military bases?
Now, initially, the Chinese said this has been blown off course. And I want to show you a map after this, really, that shows that balloons. It might make sense. This is stratospheric wind at the altitude the balloon was out from the Earth Null School. You can see, okay, maybe there's not much we can do about that. The wind is blowing a certain way. But I'll show you, this is a higher altitude. See, the winds are going a different way. So it looks like you can choose your winds. Do you think this was really blown off course?
No. I mean, balloons can go up and down, and they will change direction with the prevailing currents. Even if it was off course, the Chinese have a duty in that case, to bring it down before it goes into anyone else's airspace.
So have the USA been overly aggressive by shooting down this balloon?
Well, I mean, the latest statement from China is that it was irresponsible, an excessive reaction from the United States to shoot this down. The serious point, isn't there, about the technology rivalry between China and the US? What have we learned from this?
What we know is that any object in somebody else's airspace can be shot down. And if you're talking about China or America, they will tend to do that. And there's a sort of an interesting dynamic between high-tech jets like the F-22 and much more simple balloons, albeit with some pretty high-tech stuff hanging below them.
So what's likely to happen next with regards to this surveillance balloon? Well, the first objective for the USA is to retrieve the technology that the balloon was carrying, to establish whether or not this simply was a weather balloon, checking out the weather conditions, or if this balloon was actually carrying surveillance equipment that's been used for spying on US intelligence.
The clearest image yet that we have, where you can see the balloon is popped, essentially, it's destroyed, and then just below it, Oren, you can clearly see what appears to be that surveillance equipment dropping very quickly into the Atlantic Ocean. Warren, I suppose that gives the military, the Pentagon, some hope that what they are hoping to retrieve out of the Atlantic is salvageable and may offer some clues as to what the Chinese were up to.
Absolutely. That video is pretty incredible, and it seems to make clear, it's not that close, but it's good enough quality that it seems to make clear that the missile hit the balloon itself as opposed to the payload below it. That's where the interesting part is, the surveillance equipment, the technology. That's what the U.S. wants to get its hands on. And this video seeming to show that payload, as it fell, was at least mostly intact.
At the time of making this video, the USA was still looking for that equipment. But the immediate consequence of this action was that the US Secretary of State, who was scheduled to make a visit to Beijing, has now postponed that visit pending the outcome of this investigation. So essentially what we've got here is a worsening of the relations between China and the USA, and the USA is now accusing China of potentially spying on them using a weather balloon. Over the past 30 years, China has developed to become the manufacturing base for the whole of the world, and it's now both the single largest exporter of products globally and the second largest economy in the world behind the USA. And this chart shows how the USA's trade deficit with China has increased dramatically over the last 30 years. The red line at the bottom of this chart shows the level of USA exports to China, and the blue line at the top of this chart shows China's exports to the USA. And as you can see, by 2018, the trade deficit had hit $419 billion. Now, at that time, this figure became completely unpalatable for the new president, Donald Trump.
We can't continue to allow China to rape our country, and that's what they're doing.
And on the 6th of July 2018, the USA announced that it was imposing a 25% tariff on $34 billion worth of Chinese imports. And in direct retaliation to these tariffs, China announced that it was also imposing a 25% tariff on $34 billion worth of US imports. Just over 1 month later, on the 23rd of August 2018, the US announced that it was imposing the 25% tariff on an additional $16 billion of Chinese imports, taking the total amount to $50 billion. And in a tit-for-tat response on the same day, China also announced that it was imposing 25% tariff on an additional $16 billion of US imports. But those two rounds of tariffs were really just an aperitif for the main course. And on the 24th of September 2018, the USA announced that it was imposing a 10% tariff on $200 billion of Chinese imports. So in total, we had $250 billion worth of Chinese imports that were now subject to increased and penal tariffs. And in response, China announced that it was imposing tariffs of between 5 and 10% on an additional $60 billion worth of US imports, which is obviously not directly comparable. However, China does import significantly less from the USA than the USA imports from China. Now, following this flurry of activity, there was then a break in proceedings until May the 10th, 2019, when the USA announced that it was raising all existing tariffs on Chinese products to 25%. So at this point, the trade war changed gear and became an all-out attack. Now, later in 2019, things did calm down a little. On the 1st of September, China announced that it was removing some tariffs on US imports. On October the 11th, the USA announced that it was cancelling the planned increase to 30% for the tariffs on $250 billion worth of imports. And in December 2019, it cancelled another round of planned increases. And then on Valentine's Day 2020, peace and love broke out between the USA and China, and the USA agreed to remove some of the tariffs in exchange for China committing to buy an additional $200 billion worth of US products every single year. But unfortunately, less than 1 month after this agreement was struck, the COVID-19 pandemic was declared worldwide, which meant that China was unable to deliver on its promise to buy those additional $200 billion worth of products. Now, when Joe Biden became US president in January 2021, it was widely expected that the tariffs against China would be released. However, that has not proved to be the case. There are certain exceptions that have been introduced, such as a lot of the PPE protective equipment that was needed during the COVID pandemic. However, on a wide-scale basis, most of the tariffs still remain in place, and the trade war between the USA and China goes on. And this chart shows the monthly value of trade between the USA and China dating back to November 2020. The black line at the bottom of this chart shows the USA exports to China. The grey line shows the value of imports from China to the USA. And the blue line at the top is the total amount of trade. So if we firstly look at the situation back in November 2020, you can see that the USA was exporting $14 billion of goods to China and importing $44 billion. So the total amount of trade was over $59 billion, and the trade deficit for the USA was in excess of $30 billion. If we then move forward through the months, you can see that the level of exports from the USA has not really increased materially in any of the months. There certainly hasn't been a $200 billion increase, and in terms of the level of imports coming in from China, they've been relatively consistent as well. And if we look at the situation for September 22, you can see that the total exports from the USA were just short of $12 billion. The imports were just over $49 billion. So the trade deficit in that month was over $37 billion. So what we can see from this chart is that the trade deficit between the two countries hasn't really narrowed. There hasn't really been an increase in US exports to China. And on the flip side, we haven't really seen a big reduction in the value of the Chinese imports. So this trade war is still well and truly on. In addition to the trade war, there is also a technology war going on between the USA and China. Microchips and semiconductors are required for everything these days. They appear in absolutely every product you can imagine. And the USA is at the cutting edge of developing those microchips and actually producing them. And demand for the latest technology is growing exponentially. And the USA is at the forefront of designing and building all of these chips. And one of the things that the USA is concerned about is that China is trying to copy this technology. And as a result of this, it's imposed a variety of sanctions against Chinese companies. Washington's measures also prevent US citizens and green card holders from working for certain Chinese chip companies. These measures are designed to cut off the key pipeline of American talent to China, which will affect the development of high-end semiconductors. And the USA is rapidly ramping up efforts to try to hobble China's progress in semiconductor industry, which is vital for everything from smartphones to weapons of war. The USA says China's use of technology poses a threat to its own national security. Joe Biden's administration has targeted more than 80 Chinese companies, including major chip maker YMTC. It means American companies now need government permission to sell certain technologies to them, and that permission is becoming very difficult to secure. And the US restrictions do not solely apply to US companies, as it was recently announced that UK-based chip designer Arm has confirmed that it will not be selling its most advanced designs to Chinese firms, including tech giant Alibaba, because of the US and UK controls. China has referred to the controls as technology terrorism and has filed a complaint against the USA with the World Trade Organization over its export controls on semiconductors and other related technology. In its WTO filing, China alleged that the US is abusing export controls to maintain its leadership in science, technology, engineering, and manufacturing sectors. It added that the US actions threaten the stability of the global industrial supply chain. In response, the US stated that national security interests require that we act decisively to deny access to advanced technologies. And it will be interesting to see what the WA's decision is, because it recently ruled that US tariffs on steel and aluminium that were imposed by the US under former President Donald Trump violated global trade rules. In response to the WTO's decision, the US has said that it strongly rejects the ruling and has no intention of removing those measures. Two other countries that also have advanced chip technology are Japan and the Netherlands, and both could also impose export controls on China, which would limit the ability of Japanese and Dutch companies to sell advanced products to the Chinese market. Analysts have said that the US controls could put China further behind other chip-producing countries, even though Beijing has said that it openly wants to prioritize the manufacture of semiconductors and become a superpower in the sector. And some industry experts have forecast that without foreign technology, it could take at least 20 years for China to regain lost ground. Over the last two decades, China has built the world's largest deepwater fishing fleet, with nearly 3,000 ships. Having severely depleted the fishing stock in its own coastal waters, China now fishes in any ocean in the world, and on a scale that dwarfs some countries' entire fleets near their own waters. And the impact of China's excessive fishing is being increasingly felt from the Indian Ocean to the South Pacific, across the coasts of Africa, and to those off South America. All countries with coastal areas are granted a 200 nautical mile exclusion zone, where other countries are not permitted to fish in their waters. In the summer of 2020, the conservation group Oceana counted nearly 300 Chinese ships operating near the Galapagos, just outside Ecuador's exclusive economic zone, the 200 nautical miles off its territory where it maintains the right to natural resources under the Law of the Sea Treaty. The Chinese ships hugged the zone so tightly that satellite mapping of their positions traced the zone's boundary. Together they accounted for nearly 99% of the fishing near the Galapagos. No other country came close. China can fish on an industrial scale because it has enormous refrigerated cargo ships, which are able to refrigerate and store tons of catch. These vessels also carry fuel and other supplies for smaller ships that can unload their hauls and resupply their crews at sea. As a result, the vessels do not need to spend time returning to port, allowing them to fish almost continuously. One of these Chinese vessels, called Heifeng 718, was monitored over the course of a year starting in June 2021, and during that time it met at least 70 smaller Chinese-flagged fishing vessels in various locations at sea. Each encounter, known as a transshipment, represents the transfer of tons of fish that the smaller ships would have had to unload in port hundreds of miles away. The arrangement of transferring catch to another vessel is not illegal, but according to experts, the use of the mothership makes it easy to underreport the catch and disguise its origins. The Heifeng 718 has more than 500,000 cubic feet of cargo space, enough to carry thousands of tons of fish. The United States has pledged to assist smaller nations to counter China's illegal or unregulated fishing practices. The US Coast Guard, which now calls the practice one of the greatest security threats in the ocean, has dispatched patrol ships to the South Pacific. In July 2022, President Biden issued a national security memorandum pledging to increase monitoring of the industry. And formal sanctions have recently been introduced on a number of different Chinese fishing businesses, including NASDAQ-listed Pingtang Marine Enterprise. These sanctions are related to human rights abuses directly linked to China's illegal fishing. Taiwan is an island in the Western Pacific Ocean that lies roughly 100 miles off the coast of southeastern China. The island is approximately 245 miles long and 90 miles wide. Taiwan was historically an independent country. However, it became a colony of the Netherlands in the mid-17th century. It later regained independence. However, China took control in the late 17th century and ruled the island for over 200 years. In 1895, following the First Sino-Japanese War, it became a colony of Japan. However, the island returned to Chinese rule in 1945, following Japan's defeat in World War II. In 1949, Mao Zedong's communist forces took control of China and declared the People's Republic of China in Beijing. The previous ruling Nationalist Party retreated to Taiwan, where it declared the Republic of China and cut all contact with mainland China. In 1950, Taiwan became an ally of the United States, which was at war with China in Korea, and the US deployed a fleet into the Taiwan Strait to protect its ally from possible attack from mainland China. The first Taiwan Strait crisis started in 1954 when China launched military attacks on some smaller islands off the southeast coast, which Taiwan subsequently lost control of. In 1958, China launched a second wave of military offensives against two islands that were close to the Chinese mainland, Kinmen and Matsu, and Taiwan fought back with some US-supplied weapons. In 1979, the USA endorsed the One China policy and switched its diplomatic recognition from Taipei to Beijing. This change of stance by the USA was confirmed by the Taiwan Relations Act, which made clear that the US decision to establish diplomatic ties with Beijing rested upon the expectation that the future of Taiwan would be determined by peaceful means. And under that act, Washington was obliged to help Taiwan with the means to defend itself. In 1996, Taiwan decided to hold its first direct presidential vote, which caused the third Taiwan Strait crisis after Beijing launched missiles into waters near Taiwan. The US responded by dispatching aircraft to the region, and the Taiwan president won victory by a landslide in March. In 2000, Taiwan elected a new president representing the Democratic Progressive Party, which supports Taiwanese sovereignty and formal independence. In 2016, a new president was elected for the DPP based on a manifesto of standing up to China. In response to this, China suspended all official communications with Taiwan. Later in 2016, US President-elect Donald Trump broke decades of US diplomatic precedents by speaking directly by telephone with the president of Taiwan. In 2017, the Donald Trump administration approved $1.4 billion worth of arms sales to Taiwan, which prompted anger from Beijing. In March 2018, Donald Trump signed legislation that encouraged the USA to send officials to Taiwan to meet Taiwanese counterparts and vice versa, which again infuriated China. And in September of 2018, the US State Department approved the sale to Taiwan of spare parts for F-16 fighter jets and other military aircraft worth up to $330 million, drawing a warning from China that it jeopardized cooperation between Beijing and Washington. In July 2022, US President Joe Biden and the Chinese president held a two-hour call where Biden underscored that the United States policy has not changed and that the United States strongly opposes unilateral efforts to change the status quo or undermine peace and stability across the Taiwan Strait. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, whilst this war between the USA and China doesn't involve any military equipment at the moment, it's certainly hotting up. What we've seen over the last 4 years is that the USA is unhappy with the balance of the relationship. They feel that China has too much power in terms of its products and its exports, and that the trade deficit is not something that the USA is comfortable with. Now, the imposition of all of the tariffs has tried to address that, but as we've seen in today's video, the level of the trade deficit remains huge. So this trade war is now spilling over into other areas, and technology is becoming a major focus. The US is at the cutting edge in terms of microchip development and artificial intelligence, and it doesn't want China to be able to catch up. It likes to have a differential between the two countries. And what we've seen over the last 12 months or so is the rolling out of sanctions designed to stop China developing at the same pace as the USA. The USA does not want China to overtake it in terms of becoming the biggest economic superpower in the world, and therefore it is not happy to hand over its technology. It doesn't want China to keep fishing in the waters all around the world and draining all of the stocks. And therefore, we're now seeing more and more sanctions being applied by the USA against China. And also, the USA is encouraging other countries to join in those sanctions. So the tension between the two countries is continuing to build. And of course, added to all of this tension, we've got the situation in Ukraine. And Russia has been trying to develop its trading relations with China. Since the start of the conflict, it's been trying to increase its exports of oil and gas and other reserves that it has in abundance. And China has remained relatively neutral. It hasn't come out in direct support of Russia with regards to the conflict, but it is continuing to be a trading partner. And it will be very interesting to see over the course of the next 6 to 12 months how that relationship develops, because the USA will not want China to get closer to Russia, but equally, the USA doesn't want to share all of its own technology and other benefits with China, because there are security concerns and also concerns that China could catch up and overtake the USA at some point in the future. So the big question that I want to answer in this video is there a possibility that this trade war could spill over into a physical conflict? Could there be a spark that suddenly turns this conflict from a trade and economic conflict into a physical war? Well, the key issue around that is what's happening with regards to Taiwan. As we saw earlier in the video, the USA has aligned itself with Taiwan. Even though it's not officially recognized as a country, it will support it. And Joe Biden has said categorically that if China invades Taiwan, there will be some form of response. So the ball is entirely in China's court. If it decides that it wants to go ahead and make a formal invasion, then that could bring about a military conflict between the USA and China, because the USA would get involved in that. But I personally doubt whether or not China will make that move. There doesn't seem to be enough in it. There's not really much upside, but there is a lot of downside if that conflict did result in World War III. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's episode. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up, and thanks for watching this video all the way through to the end.